Good morning. Growing up in Houston, I was a big Chicago Bulls fan, mostly because of a basketball legend by the name of Michael Jordan. Following the announcement of his election into the Basketball Hall of Fame, reporters asked Michael Jordan what was his defining moment of his career. Believe me, he had many to choose from, like the shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers in 1989, or the shot two against the Utah Jazz in 1998, or any one of the six championship seasons, one of which he led the Bulls to a record of 72-10 in the regular season. However, to the surprise of the reporters, Michael Jordan recalled an obscured game against the Milwaukee Bucks in his rookie season when he scored 37 points and led the Bulls back from a 16-point deficit for the win. For him, it was the defining moment of his career because he and his teammate had the attitude that they believe they can win. He said, "We came back and we won, and that was the motivation from that point forward that we believe we could turn things positively." That game signified a change in Chicago. As long as there was time on the clock, we could still win the game. That was the type of attitude I wanted to bring to Chicago, and he did just that. What is the defining or a defining moment in your relationship with God in your life? For me, I have a few that comes to mind, such as the year that I spent in team formation with Christ Renews His Parish, CHIRP Men's Team 3 and 4. It was a period in my life that helped me to deepen my prayer and spiritual life. It was also a time when God planted the seed of the diaconate, although I was not aware of it at that time. Or that day in November of 2012, when I said yes to God with the love and support of my wife to discern diaconate formation, even though I had just lost my job and was looking for a new one. It was a blessed moment that taught me to put my faith and trust in God completely. Or that time in December of 2013, when my wife and I discovered in the deep wound of a recent miscarriage the depths of God's love and mercy, and prepared ourselves as husband and wife to start what would be a 5-year journey in diaconate formation, filled with grace and healing. What is the defining moment in your relationship with God in your life? This is the message of today's gospel of the parable of the two sons. In Jesus' parable of the two sons, the father offered his two sons an equal opportunity to serve in his vineyard. The first son initially turned down his father's offer, but then something stirred in his heart, and he changed his mind, and he went out and worked in his father's vineyard. On the other hand, the second son accepted his father's offer, but for whatever reason, he decided not to go out and work in his father's vineyard after all. We hear Jesus ask the chief priests and the elders of the people, which of the two did the father's will? To which they answered, the first. During a defining moment in each of their lives, one son chose to do the father's will and one did not. Although we do not know what happened to the sons, I believe we can surmise from what Jesus said about the tax collectors and the prostitutes who are represented by the first son in the parable, that the trajectories of their lives changed dramatically. This is what he said to the chief priests and the elders of the people who are represented by the second son in the parable. Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. My sisters and brothers in Christ, we too have the opportunity to be fellow workers in the Lord's vineyard. How we respond to God's invitation to work in his vineyard is a reflection of what discipleship means to us. Namely, are we disciple of Christ in word only or in word and deeds? In other words, how do we live out our Catholic faith through our actions, in our family, in the life of our parish, in the public arena of our society and in the world, in what we do and what we fail to do as we recite in the penitential act. Every choice we make is a defining moment in our relationship with God, and each choice comes with the consequences if it leads us away from God. As we read in today's first reading, the prophet Ezekiel wrote, when someone virtuous turn a defining moment in their life, when someone virtuous turn away from virtue to commit inequity and dies, it is because of the inequity he committed that he must die. But if he turns a defining moment, if he turns from the wickedness that he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life, since he has turned away from all sins he has committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. God is love. God is mercy. God is forgiveness. And in his love, his mercy, and forgiveness, he gives us many opportunities in our lifetime to turn to him and away from sin. Speaking of discipleship, what does being a disciple of Christ mean to you? If you go back and read some of the gospel reading for our daily mass this past week, we can get a sense of what it means to come and follow Christ. On the feast of St. Matthew, Jesus called Matthew saying, "Follow me." And Matthew immediately left everything and followed Jesus. Again, in the gospel reading on Tuesday, Jesus said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." Thus, discipleship requires a response from us, not just in words, but in deed as well, to love God and to love our neighbors, to serve God by serving others. In his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul wrote beautifully what the call to discipleship and what it means, saying, "Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus." And what is this attitude of Christ Jesus, but the one who did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many? At this time, I would like to invite all liturgical ministers, sacristans, lectors, Eucharistian extraordinary ministers for Holy Communion, and hospitality ministers who are currently on rotation to serve at all masses, daily masses, and weekend masses, to please stand up. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these fellow parishioners of ours have answered the call to serve as liturgical ministers at masses which they are assigned. On their behalf, and you may be seated, on their behalf, I extend to you all this invitation to answer the call to discipleship, to become liturgical ministers and help serve during Mass. Experience is not required. Training will be provided. And full disclosure, the positions do not pay well, but you will store up treasures in heaven. Most of all, you will be answering the call to serve your parish and your fellow parishioners in a very special way, because as liturgical ministers, you will have an integral role in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. As sacristans, you help the priests and the deacons prepare for the celebration of the Mass. As an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, or EMHC, you have the tremendous privilege of holding our Lord in your fingers as you distribute communion to your fellow Catholics. As a lector, you get to proclaim the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. As a hospitality minister, you have the opportunity to welcome the faithful to the Lord's heavenly banquet here on earth. I leave you with these words from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI encyclical Deus Caritas Est on Christian love, and invite you all to visit the liturgical ministers out in the table over there by the Lego section after Mass and prayerfully discern signing up to become liturgical ministers yourself. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote, "But if in my life I fail completely to heed others, solely out of a desire to be devout or to perform my religious duties, then my relationship with God will also grow arid. It becomes merely proper, but loveless. Only my readiness to encounter my neighbor and to show him love makes me sensitive to God as well. Only if I serve my neighbor can my eyes be open to what God does for me and how much he loves me. The saints, consider the example of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, now saint, constantly renew their capacity for love of neighbors from their encounter with the Eucharistic Lord. And conversely, this encounter required its realism and depth in their service to others. Love of God and love of neighbor are thus inseparable. They form a single commandment. Both live from the love of God who has loved us first. No longer is it a question then of a commandment imposed from without and calling for the impossible, but rather of a freely bestowed experience of love from within, a love which by its nature must then be shared with others. Love grows from love. Love is divine because it comes from God and unites us to God. Through this unifying process, it makes us a we, which transcends our divisions and make us one, until in the end, God is all in all."